Welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host, with a second installment of our tribute to Shirley Temple. This week we have two half-hour Screen Guild theater shows. First Love is a radio play featuring Shirley Temple acting the part of a young adult coming out in society. Shirley Temple remained a big star, and she attracted a large audience when she was featured on radio in this Cinderella story. Arthur Treacher and Peter Lawford co-star in this Screen Guild theater production, First Love, broadcast May 14, 1945, on CBS.
Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Astor Screen Guild play tonight, First Love. The starring players...
This is Shirley Temple.
This is Peter Lawford.
And this is Arthur Treacher.
Tonight, Lady Astor presents the Screen Guild players in Universal Pictures' charming comedy, First Love. It stars Peter Lawford as Ted Drake, Arthur Treacher as George, and Shirley Temple as Connie. The Lady Astor Screen Guild players in First Love.
Dear diary, this will have to be goodbye for a while. I'm afraid I'll be too busy to write. Well, just think, I'll be graduating in a little while. And afterward, I'm going to New York to live with Aunt Grace and Cousin Barbara. Of course, it isn't like having your own parents, I guess. But Aunt Grace has been so good to me, putting me through school and all. And Cousin Barbara is so glamorous. Her picture's always in the magazines. Oh, she ought to be here pretty soon. And when I introduce her to the other girls...
Oh, Connie.
Yes, Miss Wiggins?
Someone's here for you, Connie. You better go down.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Well, they're here. They come for me. Please make them like me. Please. I came right down, Aunt Grace. I beg your pardon.
Miss Harding?
Yes.
Miss Constance Harding?
Yes.
I am George.
George?
Yes, your aunt's butler, miss. We've come for you in the car.
Oh, they're here. Where are they? Why didn't they come in?
Well, you see...
Oh, I'll go right out. I shouldn't keep them waiting. Are they in the car?
Well, no, miss. Only the chauffeur and I are here.
Oh, they didn't come.
Well, I'm afraid they were very busy, miss. You know, Mrs. Clinton has her charities, and Miss Barbara has also many things to do.
I understand. I guess I'd better go up and finish my packing.
I'm very sorry, miss.
Oh, it's quite all right. I don't mind. Really, I don't mind at all.
Oh, Connie.
Yes?
Well, now, what's this? Crying on your graduation day? What's the matter, Connie?
It's nothing, Miss Wiggins. It's just that... Well, everyone else is going home. Everyone but me.
Oh, so that's it. Feeling sorry for yourself.
Oh, you don't understand.
Oh, yes, I do. You haven't got a father or mother to tell you how pretty and clever you are. No, poor little thing. All you've got is a personality and a mind and a talent. A gift for music that comes to one in a million.
Well, Miss Wiggins,
Connie, do you know what you've got to do?
What?
Laugh at yourself and laugh at the world. Then someday you'll meet your prince and... live happily ever after.
Aren't those fairy tales a little old-fashioned?
Fiddlesticks, they come true every day. You just dust them off and streamline them a bit.
You mean cut a magic carpet with Aesop?
Yes, and find yourself a fairy godmother. Even a homely old one like me. Now you go on up there to New York and make them love you the way we do here. Make your fairy tale come true yourself.
Well, that's a pretty big order, Miss Wiggins, but anyway, I can try.
There's the front door, Barbara. They're back.
Just in time to make us 2 hours late.
Now, darling, I didn't dream they'd be so long.
Good evening, madam. Your niece has arrived.
It's about time.
Hello, Barbara.
George, where have you been? We've been simply frantic. Agnes, my flowers.
Yes, ma'am. I have them right here.
Come on, Mother. We're late.
Yes, I'm coming, darling. Oh, Connie, my dear, dear baby. How are you? Barbara, you haven't said hello to Connie.
Hello, Connie. Glad to see you.
Well, so am I. Oh, I'm so happy.
Mother, please hurry. We're so late, there won't be a photographer left.
Yes, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Good night, Connie.
Oh, good night, my dear. Good night.
Shall I unpack your bags, miss?
No, thanks. I'll do them myself.
There'll be a light supper served, miss, as soon as you're ready.
I don't think I want anything.
Oh, but child, you must eat.
I'm not hungry.
Now, don't start taking the family too seriously.
Of course not, miss. You'll get used to them.
You think so?
Why not? We did.
Of course, if they didn't want me here, they didn't have to ask me, did they?
No, miss.
My Aunt Grace insisted.
So I understand, miss.
Well, then I am going to like this house and everyone in it. And everybody's going to like me.
A very cheerful thought, miss.
Say, don't you ever smile?
It's against the rules, miss.
Rules? What rules?
Butler's Union, Local 106.
You're funny, George. I think I will like it here.
Sure you will.
And look, they've got a grand piano. Does anyone in this house like music?
Well, speaking for myself, miss, I do and I don't.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, it's this way, miss. Some people may consider this an inspired concerto. My personal preference is somewhat above that, like this.
Oh, George, you're wonderful. What time do we eat?
Eat, miss? But you just said...
Oh, didn't I tell you? I've changed my mind.
Agnes? Agnes?
Good afternoon, Miss Barbara. I've been waiting for you to wake up.
What time is it?
2 o'clock. When Mr. Drake called, I said that you...
Who called?
Mr. Drake.
Ted Drake, and you didn't wake me?
I tried to, Miss Barbara. You threw the clock at me.
What did he say?
He said he was going to the club. He wanted you to go riding with him and some other people. He said they'd be starting at 2:30 sharp.
2:30? Get my robe. Oh, I'll never be able to make it in time.
Can't you call him up and ask him to wait?
And let him think I'm running after him? My boots, you idiot. If I could only stop him, keep him from leaving until I... Wait, I know.
You got an idea?
It's an inspiration. Get that cousin of mine in here. Connie, you understand what I want. You've got to keep him from going off on that ride.
But how?
I don't care how. Fall in front of him, faint, make him revive you, steal his horse, do anything. As long as he's still there when I pull in.
But I don't even know what he looks like.
Ted Drake's the best catch in New York. You must have seen his picture.
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Well, there's one in the drawer of my dressing table. It's right on top. That's it. Well?
My, he's good looking, isn't he?
That picture is for identification only. Now get going, will you? George can take you over. I'll get a cab. Go on, hurry.
All right.
Oh, Miss Connie.
George, are you ready? You have to take me over.
So I understand Miss Agnes informed me.
Do you know anything about stealing horses?
Well, I'm not exactly a professional, miss, but I brought a bag of sugar cubes along.
Oh, sugar, is that good?
Well, I can only say, miss, it isn't hay. Shall we go?
Shh. That's so loud. Do you want him to hear? He's right there in the clubhouse, you know. Ah, oh, see what I've got for you? Some sugar. All you have to do is follow me. Ah, oh, that's it. That's it. Oh, all right, all right. I was going to give it to you. Here. Oh, you like it, don't you? You'd like some more, wouldn't you? Well, just keep on walking. That a boy. I've got a whole lot more for you. A whole purse full of sugar cubes. You just follow me and...
Just a minute, there.
Oh, gosh, there he is. I'd better get out of here.
Whoa, boy, whoa, whoa. Slow down there, boy. Easy.
Can't you hear him? He's calling you. Go back, Horace. Go home. Go. Oh!
Young lady? Young lady, what is the idea of taking my horse?
I didn't take him. He followed me.
Sure, and you jumped in that pond just to get away.
I didn't jump. You chased me and I fell.
I wasn't chasing you. I was chasing my horse.
Well, you don't have to be so mean and nasty and...
Now, take it easy. There's no reason to cry. Look, I didn't mean it. I tell you I'm sorry.
Then why don't you help me out of here?
Okay. Hang on. Up he comes. That's it. Now, just sit down here for a moment and...
Oh.
Well, what's the trouble now?
I've got mud in my eye.
First time I ever heard that outside of a bar. Have you got a handkerchief?
No.
I'll get it out for you.
Oh. I can't go home.
What's the matter now?
Because, well, I'm a little dizzy.
A little? Isn't that conservative?
Oh, you'd better catch me. I think I'm going to...
No.
Going to...
No, hey, no, no. Hey. Holy cow. She's passed out.
Ted? Oh, Ted.
Here, Barbara.
Ted, what are you doing?
Showing off my Boy Scout holes. This kid just fainted.
Oh, well, I'll take her, Ted. You run back to the clubhouse and get some smelling salts.
Okay. Here, you hold her. I'll be back in a minute.
Barbara, did I do all right?
You didn't have to hang on to his neck.
Well, you said to faint, and someone had to catch me. You know, he's very strong.
You look a mess. You better get home.
But don't you think I should stay and thank him? He was very nice.
Well, you do as you're told.
But, Barbara, I only want to be polite.
If he sees you again, you'll spoil everything. Now run along home. I'll take care of Ted.
Dear diary, guess what? I'm going to see him again. I mean, really see him. His family is giving a ball next week, and our family's invited. We're all invited, even me. At first, I didn't think I'd get to go. I haven't a single thing to wear. But Agnes is so wonderful. She's making my graduation dress over into an evening gown. Oh, diary, please let me look nice. I've got to look nice. I've simply got to.
It's pretty hard to fix this dress of hers, George.
Yes, that's not a dress. It's more of a shroud.
Yeah, too bad Barbara isn't wearing it. You know, that youngster's heart would be broken. I've got to do something with this dress.
Well, naturally.
Like what?
Well, first you take the dress and then you hide it.
Huh?
And then you hide those slippers, too.
But, George...
And then you buy a whole new outfit.
With what?
With money.
Whose money?
Mine, yours.
And the cook and the chauffeur, they'll help, too.
She must look her best, you know, for a very special reason.
Oh, a fella, huh?
She keeps his picture under her pillow.
Is it autographed?
She clipped it from the rotogravure.
Well, what's he like? Is he good enough for her?
Oh, yes, an excellent family, quite well-placed. He's rather handsome, too, and very popular.
Well, what's his name? Who is he, George?
I beg your pardon. Do you think I'm a cad?
It fits you pretty well, Miss Connie. Of course, it's cut a little low on the back.
Oh, it's wonderful, Agnes. I don't see how you did it. I just can't believe it's the same dress.
Well, when I remodel, I don't fool around. Here, I think you can put your slippers on now.
Those? Oh, they aren't mine. I'm sure they aren't.
Well, you see, we sent yours to a man to put some silver on them, and he kind of lost them, so he sent you a new pair.
Oh, but he shouldn't have done that. These silver slippers must be very expensive.
Oh, he's insured.
Yes. Come in.
Oh, this just came for you, miss. A corsage.
A corsage? Who sent it, George?
Well, there was no card, miss.
But I don't understand.
Must be someone who hopes to see you at the ball. You know, a sort of...
Agnes!
I'm in here, Miss Barbara.
You might give me some attention, you know. I want a large chiffon handkerchief, black, and my gold mesh bag.
Well,
isn't our little cousin dazzling?
Oh, Agnes did a wonderful job. She made it over for my graduation dress.
The way that dress is cut and back, it must have been a very liberal school.
Oh, I just love it, Barbara. You look nice, too.
Thanks. Darlings, it's almost time to leave. Now, I hope you're both ready.
Oh, sure, we're ready, Aunt Grace.
Well, then, I'll tell the chauffeur.
Mother.
Yes, dear?
Mother, I completely forgot. Uncle Jason phoned from Washington this afternoon. Oh. He's coming in tonight.
Tonight? Oh, but he can't. There won't be anyone here to welcome him.
That's what I was thinking, Mother.
How about George? Oh, he despises George.
I beg your pardon, madam.
Oh, nothing personal, George. He despises me, too. I'd rather not be here when he arrives.
Well, Mother, I can't miss the ball. Ted would never forgive me.
Still, someone should be here, I suppose.
Could be anyone in the family. I mean, when you do so much for someone, the least they can do is...
George, will you put my flowers in the icebox, please?
Miss Connie, you mean you're staying home?
Well, there hasn't been any voting yet, but I've got a feeling that I'm elected.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
I have at last accomplished, after many years, what I've always wanted to do. I've achieved a shade that takes the guesswork out of face powder. One shade that's equally flattering to four basic skin types. I asked a group of young college women to try this exciting new shade, which is called Bridal Pink. And unanimously, in their own delighted words, they said, "It's out of this world, simply out of this world." For in that group of young women were a blonde, a brunette, a girl with auburn hair, a girl with brown hair. And all, without exception, took on a new look, a fresher, more romantic look, the instant they applied Lady Esther Bridal Pink. You see, Bridal Pink is not just a new shade. It's an entirely new kind of powder shade. Many women have already written to tell me about the fascinated, unexpected things it does for their appearance. The way it gives tone and color to a lifeless skin. The way it instantly wakens and beautifies a muddy or sallow skin. The way it gives a young, vivacious look, a romantic, happy-as-a-bride look to almost every skin it touches. In my opinion, there's never been anything to compare with Bridal Pink face powder. And I do hope you'll try it so you can see and judge for yourself. Your druggist may be sold out of Bridal Pink because the demand for it has been far greater than expected. But keep on trying. Ask your druggist to order it for you or try some other store. But accept no other shade. For no shade has the amazing quality of Lady Esther Bridal Pink to beautify practically every skin it touches.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of First Love, starring Arthur Treacher, Shirley Temple, and Peter Lawford.
Well, they've gone now. I just heard the car drive off. I guess it was silly of me to dream. Oh, it's silly to dream and wish and hope for anything so much.
Oh, Miss Connie, Miss Connie.
Yes, George?
Oh, you haven't much time, miss. You'll have to hurry.
Hurry? Where?
What of the ball, miss? Everything's been arranged.
Oh, but I have to stay here. Uncle Jason's coming.
Ah, not until one, miss. You'll be back by then. You'll be leaving the ball at 12. Now, come along now. You'd better hurry.
Oh, this is wonderful. Let me see now. My flowers, my wrap, my purse.
And if I may suggest it, your slipper.
Oh, yes. It was a little tight, so I took it off. It's new, you know.
Yes, yes. Now, remember, miss, you know, you must leave the ball at 12 o'clock sharp.
Oh, George, it's just like Cinderella. And you're my fairy godmother.
Really, miss? You know, I didn't think I was the type.
You're sure it'll work, George? You positive?
Oh, Agnes, if I may permit myself the observation, everything is in the groove. No, the family left here at 9 o'clock, and exactly 12 minutes after 9, the car will be stopped by a motorcycle policeman.
That would be Mike.
Yes, by great good fortune, a lodge brother of mine. The ancient and independent order of blue men. He will ask the chauffeur to show his driver's license, and when the chauffeur is unable to produce it...
The family will all land in the clink.
And stay there until 12 o'clock.
But are you sure the chauffeur won't have his license?
I am not in the habit of leaving things to chance. He carries that document in his pigskin wallet, and Agnes, I stitched it.
here somewhere. He's got to be here. This is his home. It's his party. It's...
Oops. Oh. I'm sorry.
Oh, Mr. Drake.
Oh, it's my fault. I should have watched where I was going.
Oh, no, it's all my fault. I was looking around. I mean, so many beautiful girls and...
They ought to be looking at you. They will be, too, and take my word, they'll be jealous.
It's a very nice party, isn't it?
Yes, it is, now.
I didn't think I was going to get here. I mean...
Oh, that would have been terrible, Miss... by the way, how's the rest of your, how's everybody?
Oh, well, I haven't seen them since... Oh, all right, I guess.
Still live at the same old place
Oh, yes, the same place.
Well, so do we.
Some champagne, Miss... Mr. Ted.
I think so. Young lady?
Well, maybe just a little.
Thank you, Ames.
Quite welcome, sir.
Well, beautiful, here's mud in your eye.
That's very funny.
What?
Mud in my eye.
What, I just... Wait a minute. Say that again.
What?
Mud in your eye.
Oh, but that's so silly.
It's a miracle. The pond. No wonder I didn't know you. You look so different. Look, there's so much noise in here. Let's go outside.
Where?
The balcony.
But what are we going to do with the glasses?
Find a wall somewhere and smash them. Aren't we celebrating a reunion?
Ted. Ted, how long have we been sitting out here?
Who knows? Who cares?
I wonder if you could...
Go ahead.
Oh, it wasn't anything. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say what a shame it is I have to leave next week.
Leave?
Yeah, I'm going on an expedition to South America with Dr. McKenzie.
Oh, will you be away long?
6 months, about.
It should be fun.
Yeah, we have our own boat. Sailboat with an auxiliary, big diesel engine.
Diesel engines are wonderful.
So are you. The most wonderful girl I've ever met.
What's a diesel engine?
Don't you know?
No.
Well, why didn't you ask?
How could I? You were kissing me.
You want to know something? We still got time. I mean, we could...
Time? What time is it?
A couple of minutes after 12.
After 12, I've got to go.
Go? You can't go.
I've got to, I promise. Goodbye and thanks.
Wait. I don't even know your name. You can't run away again. Hey, wait. Come back. You forgot your slipper.
Wilma, it was just horrible. Just imagine being stopped by a policeman and taken to jail and... Oh, it was awful. I simply got to tell Ted.
Sure, if you can catch up with him.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's been running around here like mad with a silver slipper in his hand. It belongs to that girl.
What girl?
The pretty one. I'd never seen her before. Ted keeps muttering something about losing her twice. Once at the pond and now...
The pond? Did she have a white gown cut rather low in back?
Well, not as low as yours, my dear.
Thanks. Be seeing you, Wilma. I've got to get home. I'll call Ted and explain in the morning.
I don't know. Maybe this crazy business is catching.
Oh, it was wonderful, George. I don't know where to begin.
Well, I'd like to begin at the beginning, Miss. Shall we say the first dance?
Well, I didn't really dance. You see, he asked me to go out on the balcony.
He, and... I presume, is young Mr. Ted.
Oh, then you know.
Who doesn't?
Miss Barbara, I didn't hear you come in.
How fortunate. You may go, George.
Yes, Miss.
Barbara, I'd like to explain. I mean...
Oh, there's really nothing to explain.
Oh, but there is. You see...
Connie, darling, it was perfect. Ted said he never had so much fun in his life.
Fun?
Well, what else? Ted thought you were trying to crash the party, so he decided to rib you a little bit. You should hear him telling about it.
Telling about it?
My dear, and leaving your slipper. That was so touching. Ted's going to use it to find you again. He wants to hire you to play the same joke on a friend in Boston. I'll phone him tomorrow and tell him you're here.
You needn't bother. But tomorrow morning, I won't be here. So you see, Miss Wiggins, There really wasn't any other place I could go. And you told me I had a talent for music, and... Well, I thought if I could live here and sort of earn my way... I mean, maybe I could teach the younger girls...
For all the rest of your life?
Oh, I'd like to teach music. I'm sure I would. It's a fine career.
Most of them want to be missionaries.
Who?
Oh, girls like you. So you'd like to be a teacher, eh?
If I could be one like you.
And spend half of your nights crying.
Miss Wiggins, I thought you were so happy here.
Old maids are only happy when they cry. Connie, dear, you've got a long way ahead of you. So you want to be sure you're on the right road.
I am sure.
Whatever road you choose may be rough at times. So you want to be sure you've got the right shoes. The right shoes. And two of them.
I don't understand.
You will. All right, gentlemen. Come in.
Good afternoon, Miss Connie.
George, what are you doing here?
Miss Connie, there's someone here to see you.
Who?
Excuse me, but does this slipper happen to belong to you?
Ted.
You didn't think I wouldn't try to find you. You couldn't believe a thing like that.
No.
And promise you'll never run away again? Promise?
I promise.
All right, then. Try that slipper on for size. And if it fits, I'll give you both my blessing.
And I mine.
Just like one of those streamlined fairy tales. Only, do you know what?
What?
I've got two fairy godmothers, and one of them belongs to the Butler's Union.
Thank you, Shirley Temple, Peter Lawford, and Arthur Treacher for a delightful half hour. Your appearance with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players means a great deal to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, both largely supported by these radio programs. And now, Shirley, wasn't there something you wanted to say?
Just this, Mr. Bradley. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone wants his brothers back home just as fast as possible. I ought to know. I've got a couple of brothers, too. Let's bring them all home. Let's bring them home soon. Let's buy that extra war bond today. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Temple. Ladies, I just wish I could send a box of Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder to every woman in America. I wish every woman now listening, regardless of the shade of her hair or the tone of her skin, could try this astonishing new shade. Could see the delightful, unexpected things it does for her appearance. Bridal pink is not for just one particular type of coloring like other powder shades. It's equally flattering to blondes and brunettes, to those with auburn hair and those with brown hair. And that's not all. Lady Esther Bridal Pink is unusual in texture, too. A face powder so smooth and clinging, it doesn't even look like powder. The effect is elusive, almost indescribable. That's why I'm so eager to have you try it. I'd like you to see the fascinating baby-like finish Lady Esther Bridal Pink gives your skin. I'd like you to see how it helps blend out flaws and makes little blemishes disappear. How it helps erase signs of weariness and fatigue. The response to Lady Esther Bridal Pink has been phenomenal, and we've not been able to keep up with the demand. So if your druggist is sold out of it, you may have to wait for his next shipment or try some other store. But do not accept any other color, for remember, no powder shade can give you the happy, radiant look of a woman in love like Lady Esther Bridal Pink.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present the Desert Song. It will star Bruce Cabot and Dennis Morgan. Be sure to listen. Shirley Temple appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick and can currently be seen in I'll Be Seeing You. Peter Lawford can soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture, Son of Lassie. Arthur Treacher appeared through the courtesy of the Jack Carson Campbell Soup program. First Love was broadcast through the courtesy of Universal Pictures, producers of This Is the Spirit. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night, everyone. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host. Next, we have a radio dramatization of The Bluebird that includes a duet with Shirley Temple and Nelson Eddy. This adaptation of a play by Maurice Maeterlinck was 20th Century Fox's answer to MGM's Wizard of Oz. Unfortunately, it was not the lasting hit that Wizard of Oz turned out to be. Partly because Shirley Temple's fans could not accept her as a character who needs to learn a lesson. I am sure you will enjoy this Christmas Eve broadcast of Screen Guild Theater, The Bluebird, broadcast December 24th, 1939 on CBS.
Miss Shirley Temple.
Mr. Eddy, what do I do now?
Well, anything you say, Shirley. It's your program. But if I might make a suggestion, as one singer to another, how about a song?
All right, Mr. Eddy, I'll sing Someday You'll Find Your Bluebird.
Good.
Someday you'll find your bluebird. Wait your turn. Bide your time, for when you find your bluebird, life will be so sublime. It may be right near you, or maybe worlds apart. When love comes, you'll find it on the windowsill of your heart. And then you'll hear your bluebird sing a song of happiness to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, some 30 years ago, the famous Belgian author Maurice Maeterlinck wrote a play and called it The Bluebird. It must have carried a message the world sorely needed, for within a few years it was known and loved in every corner of the earth, by young and old alike. It's been acted in every country, in every language, and on almost every stage, until to the whole world the Bluebird has come to be the symbol of happiness. And now it's been brought to the screen by Darryl Zanuck and 20th Century Fox as the most magnificent and spectacular Technicolor production of the year, with Shirley Temple in the role of Meetle. And tonight, at this very moment in faraway France, Maurice Maeterlinck, now 77 years old, is seated at his shortwave radio, waiting to hear Shirley Temple bring his immortal story to life again. Did you like working in The Bluebird, Shirley?
Oh, yes, Mr. Pryor. I loved it. Better than any picture I was ever in, I think. Do you know The Bluebird, Mr. Pryor?
Oh, of course. It's the story of Meetle and Tyltyl, a girl and boy who lived over 100 years ago, if I remember correctly.
You remember, all right. And do you remember the Royal Forest? That's where the story begins. Oh, it was beautiful. The most beautiful forest I've ever seen. The green pine trees were all glistening with snow. Oh, there was lots of snow, because it was the day before Christmas. And I remember my brother, Tyltyl, and I were walking through the forest. The birds were singing all around us. They were very happy, because no one was supposed to hunt them in the Royal Forest. But I did. I guess I wasn't a very nice little girl. Tyltyl and I set a trap. And then we hid behind a tree. And pretty soon, a little thrush came to eat the crumbs we'd spread. He came closer and closer. And there, we had him in the trap. And all the other birds flew right away. We were pretty excited, too. But suddenly, we heard a horn. It was a royal forester. He waved his hand and shouted at us. And I yelled, "Come on, Tyltyl! Run, run! It's the royal forester!" And we did run, too. All the way back to the village. We didn't slow down till we were passing Angela's house. It wasn't much of a house, because Angela's mother was very poor, and Angela was sick, and lying in bed near the window. I guess she wondered what we were carrying in the basket, because she opened the window and called to us.
Mito? Oh, Mito.
Oh, hello, Angela.
What have you got in the basket, Mito? Something for Christmas?
It's a bird, a very rare bird.
It's a thrush, we think.
I trapped it in the royal forest.
Oh, I've always wanted a bird like that. I don't suppose you wouldn't give it to me, would you?
I should say not. I've promised this bird to another little girl for Christmas.
Have you? Who?
Who do you suppose? Me. Come on, Tyltyl.
Yes, we'd better hurry. Mommy and Daddy don't like it when we're late for dinner.
Oh, I'll show them my bird, and they'll forget to scold us.
Where have you children been? What kept you?
Look, Mummy, we caught the most beautiful bird.
There's no excuse for being late to supper. Now go wash your hands.
Yes, Mummy. Down, Tylo, down.
Your mummy had to set the table, Meetle. Did you forget the time?
You know, Daddy, I think the village clock is slow.
You hear that, Mummy? The village clock was slow.
She has eyes, hasn't she?
You saw it was growing dark.
Well, yes. But Angela Berlingo stopped us. I had to talk to her. She's sick, you know.
Then we looked in at the rich children's house.
Mm.
Oh, just for a second, Daddy.
Never mind all that now. Now, come on. Take your places at the table. There. We're ready for grace.
For what we are about to receive, and for all thy bounteous blessings, O Lord, make us truly thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
Meeple, catch up your bird.
Tylette, get away from there. Keep away from my bird. Get away, Tylette.
And I told you, Meeple, not to trap birds in the woods.
But, Daddy, it's such fun. And what do you think, Mummy? Angela wanted me to give my bird to her.
Well, why didn't you? It would have been something to cheer her up. Oh, poor mite, sick in bed all winter.
It's not my fault she's sick.
It's your fault that you're selfish.
You've got so much that she hasn't, Meeple.
What have I got?
Health, for one thing.
What's that?
And a roof over your head, warm clothes to wear.
These old things.
And plenty to eat.
But nothing I like. Nothing good. Not like those rich children have. Cakes, candies, dolls to play with, pre-dresses, everything. I have nothing.
Stop it, Meeple. Stop it at once. Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I'm not ashamed. I hate it. I hate it all.
Meeple.
Another word and you'll go straight to bed. You're an ungrateful child.
I don't care. I'm so unhappy.
Of course you're unhappy. If you don't mend your ways, you'll never be happy. Never.
Oh, who's that?
Come in.
Oh, it's you, Wilhelm.
Well, sit down. Have some supper with us.
Thanks, but I have no time. I have bad news, I'm afraid.
What's wrong?
Orders to mobilize at once.
Mobilize?
Oh, no.
Soldiers are on the march again. We assemble in the village square tomorrow at noon.
I'll be there.
Good. Till tomorrow, then.
War.
Daddy, I don't want you to go.
I must go, dear.
Why do they have to have war? What makes war anyway?
The same thing that makes trouble everywhere. Greed and selfishness. Someone is not content with what they have.
But you're not like that, Daddy. Why should you have to go?
That's what's wrong about it, child. You can't be unhappy inside yourself without making others unhappy, too.
Come. Come now, children. Be off to bed. Daddy and I have many things to do. Good night, dear.
Good night. Mummy, I'm sorry for the way I behaved at supper.
Yes, yes, dear. Good night.
When Daddy said someone is not content, did he mean like me?
Well, like you are sometimes.
But I don't want to be like that, Mummy. Really, I don't.
I know, I know.
I don't know what makes me do it. Oh, Mummy, I'm so unhappy.
Oh, there, dear. You want to be happy, don't you?
Yes, Mummy. Like you. You're happy all the time, aren't you?
Well, Nearly all the time, dear. Now go to sleep.
Don't worry, Mummy. Daddy will come back.
Yes. Yes, dear. Now sleep. Sleep.
You find the bluebird.
The bluebird?
That's what I said. The bluebird. The bird that stands for happiness. You want to be happy, don't you?
Of course.
Then into your clothes, both of you. And be quick about it.
Look, Meagle. You're all dressed. And so are you. Why, Tiltil, even your boots are laced. She did it.
Come, don't stand there staring. There's no time to lose. You must find the bluebird.
But where should we look for it?
In the past, in the future, everywhere.
But, ma'am, we're not allowed to go places alone at night.
There's your dog and cat. Take them.
But we'll get lost in the dark.
I'll take care of that. Light, you who give beauty to the earth, appear.
It's a queen. She came right out of the lamp, all covered with light.
I am light. Come to guide you, dear little friend. Where would you like to go?
We're not quite sure where to go. Marion said we must find the bluebird. We don't know where to look. She said in the past, the future, everywhere.
Perhaps we'd better start in the past.
But where is the past? Light, do you know the way?
Of course. The past is just behind us. I'll show you. Come.
Come.
The path lies through there.
But that's the graveyard.
It's the only way to the past. You must leave from here, Meadle. But take heed. It is now nearly midnight. You must be back within the hour. Otherwise, you will remain in the past forever. Goodbye now.
Aren't you coming with us?
No. Light has no business in a graveyard. But I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting.
Where's Tiltil? Look.
Where?
Through the mist. Over on the bench. Don't you see them? It's Grandpa and Granny.
They're dead, Mabel. They're dead.
I must be waking up. I have pins and needles all down my legs.
Somebody must be thinking of us. Why, I'm beginning to feel quite strong.
We're going to have visitors.
They seem quite near.
Now I can get on with carving my little figures. I've been at this one for a whole year.
That's because we're so seldom awake. My babies, me too. Oh, my. Hold me tight. There, now, another one. A big one this time. My.
It's been months and months now that you've forgotten.
Oh, the last time. Let me see now. It was Easter morning. The church bells were ringing.
Easter? We didn't go out that day. We both had very bad colds.
No, but you thought of us.
Yes. We missed you.
Yes, every time you think of us, we wake up and see you again.
But we thought you were dead.
No, dear, no. People never die. Only when they're forgotten.
Everything's the same here. The house, the yard. Oh, Granny, I'm so glad to be here. Sit, Grandpa. Huh? There's the hole in the door I made with your gimlet.
And a good spanking you got for us.
Look, Grandpa. fish for you is to measure us on the door. Needle, let's see how much it grows. All right.
My, my, how you both shot up. Till, you're 3 fingers taller. And you, Needle, 4, 5.
Now, big and strong.
Feel my muscle, Grandpa.
Well.
Grandpa, huh? You haven't finished carving little Coco yet.
Oh, what chance have I got when I'm always asleep? Come along, Tiltil. We'll do some work on it now in my workshop.
All right, Grandpa.
Don't be long, Tiltil.
Oh, you're in no hurry.
Yes, so we are. We must be back within the hour. What time is it, Granny?
Now sit down. It's only 12:30.
Granny, the reason why we're here, we've got to find a bluebird. It's terribly important.
A bluebird? Oh, yes, I'm sure we've got one.
Really, Granny? Where? Show me.
Oh, we've plenty of time for that. I haven't had a morsel of gossip in a 12th month.
But, Granny...
Tell me, did Mrs. Van Groen's daughter marry the burgomaster?
No, she didn't.
Why? What happened?
Mrs. Van Groen married him herself.
Merciful heavens.
Please, Granny, can't we go now and see about the bluebird?
All right, child, if we must. We'll look in the birdhouse. It's right over there.
Oh, thank you, Granny.
There. There you are, dear. Birds of all kinds, all colors. You may have any one you like.
Isn't there a blue one?
Yes. Yes, there's a blue one. That one up there. Singing.
Why, Granny, he isn't blue. He's black.
Strange. He always looked blue to me.
There's one here. Not a single bluebird.
Won't one of these do?
No. Granny said it must be blue. She said to look everywhere. This is the past, isn't it?
Yes, dear. But perhaps your bluebird isn't in the past. And you'll have to look somewhere else.
I must go then. Tiltil. Oh, Tiltil.
Needle, what do you think? These little carved figures can whistle.
I know that. Come on, we've got to go.
Wait, you can't go yet. You haven't heard my little figures whistle. Listen. Anything you like. You name it, Needle.
Can I whistle a hymn?
Oh, hymns are for Sunday.
The farmer in the dell, then?
Oh, who wants that silly thing? How'd you like Lady O?
That's the only one they play.
Well, that's the one I wanted anyway. Granny, you used to sing that to me in my cradle, remember?
I remember.
You? Why, you weren't even born.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
You sing, Measle.
Lady O, say a happy jingle, Lady O. Get a happy tingle, Lady O. Maybe every single care will go with a Lady O. Yo, lay, lay, hoo. Lay, lay, hoo. Yo, lay, lay, hoo. Yo, lay, lay, hoo. Yo, lay, lay,
fine.
We've really got to go now. Come on, Tiltil. What time is it?
Why, it's still 12:30.
Oh, my goodness. Something's wrong. Tiltil, we've got to run.
But, Tiltil, you said you wanted to learn to carve.
I do, but I haven't got time now.
Wait, children. I'll bake you the biggest apple tart you ever tasted.
We haven't time, really. We'll come again.
Oh, he'll forget.
I promise.
Goodbye, Grandpa.
But don't wait too long to come
goodbye,
again.
Granny.
Oh, goodbye. Goodbye, darling. Think of us often. You don't know how much it means.
They're gone.
Always in such a hurry.
Oh, I'll never get this carving finished. I'm beginning to get sleepy already.
I am, too. It was nice of them to think of us.
And wait a second. Perhaps it won't be so long. Till next time.
Poor Granny and Grandpa. We were sorry to leave them. We just had to get out of the past. We'd have had to stay there ourselves forever.
And is that the end of the story, Shirley?
Oh, no, Mr. Pryor. When we got out of the past, Light was waiting for us and took us through the most wonderful, exciting adventures. First, we went to see Mr. and Mrs. Luxury. They lived in a great big palace where everybody has everything they want. Everything but the things they really need. And then, Light took us to the land of the future to visit with the children who weren't born yet. That was the most beautiful place of all. It seemed just like heaven. Everything was soft and blue, and you could see for miles and miles. And the children were all dressed in blue, too. And then Father Time came and called out their names. And they sailed down to Earth with him in his boat. And from way down below, you could hear the most wonderful music. It was a song of all the mothers waiting for their children. It was all so beautiful, Mr. Pryor, that sometimes when we were making the scene, I almost cried.
And what was the most exciting scene in the picture, Shirley?
When Tylette the cat turned the forest against us. Then, when we were going through, those great big trees reached out their arms and tried to catch us. And the vines tried to trip us. And the fire chased us. And the river almost swallowed us. But we kept on running and running because we just had to find the bluebird.
And did you finally find the bluebird, Shirley?
Well, it's a big secret, Mr. Pryor. But I guess I can tell you. In the end, I did find my bluebird. And I hope for everyone that's listening that they find their bluebird, too. And then you'll hear your bluebird sing a song of happiness to
beautiful. It's the nicest Christmas present you could have given me.
Thank you, Mr. Eddie. And if you want to give me a nice Christmas present...
Uh-huh, yes. What?
Well, will you please sing A Silent Night?
I will if you'll sing it with me.
All right.
Eddie, wishing you all the happiest Christmas you ever had. Have you a word for your friend, Shirley?
Oh, yes, Mr. Eddie. Dear radio audience, this has been a very exciting Christmas Eve for me. And Mr. Maeterlinck, can you hear me away over in France? I just love playing in your wonderful story, The Bluebird. And now, I just want to say to my friends at 20th Century Fox, and to all the neighborhood good golf dealers everywhere, a very Merry Christmas to you and your families. A Merry Christmas, everybody!
Good night, Shirley, and Merry Christmas to you. And ladies and gentlemen, remember, it's only in the Gulf Theater where you can meet all your favorite stars. The greatest motion picture stars working together. In the next few weeks, for example, we'll bring you Betty Davis, Spencer Tracy, Humphrey Bogart, Claudette Colbert, Charles Boyer. And be sure to make a date right now for Gulf's big New Year's Eve party here next week with Eddie Cantor, Gene Autry, Joan Blondell, Bonita Granville, Mr. Guffey, Eddie Cantor's latest singing discovery, and Oscar Bradley and his Gulf Orchestra. Listen in, won't you? Good. Until then, this is Roger Pryor saying good night for your neighborhood good golf dealer, wishing you the best of good health, happiness, and Merry Christmas.
Nelson Eddy's current picture for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is Balalaika.
Oscar Bradley, conductor of the Gulf Orchestra, wishes to express his appreciation for the splendid cooperation of 20th Century Fox's general musical director, Alfred Newman, who composed and conducted the beautiful score of the picture Bluebird, which opens as a roadshow January 19th at the Hollywood Theater in New York City. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of the Old Time Radio Hour. Please tune in again next week when we continue our tribute to Shirley Temple with Kathleen on Lux Radio Theater. We'll look forward to sharing more classic radio with all our listeners. And until then, I'm your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.